Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Welcome to lesson 41, The Serpent of Brass Lifted Up. Please let me start with a question for you. When is the last time you have been sick? Did you take any medicine to make yourself better? Did you put any salve on the wound to stop infection? If you came to your doctor with an open wound, what would you think if your doctor said, "Here, put on this hat. If you put on this hat, it will make you better"? What would your response be? Would you believe your doctor? Would you really believe him that putting on a hat would heal the wound? It seems impossible. But today we're going to learn of a time that God provided a way of salvation for His people in the wilderness that was even more unbelievable than this example. But in this story, the cure provided by God actually did work. Let's go to our story in Numbers chapter 21. After a month of mourning for Aaron, the people continued their journey, and still the wilderness is open before them, and it does not go well because one of the Canaanite kings comes out to fight against them and takes some of them prisoner. Israel has shown themselves to be complainers and rebellious against their God, but this time they respond differently. They pray to the Lord for help and promise that if He would give them the victory over this king, that they would give God all the honor and not themselves. God gives Israel the victory here. Sadly, the people soon turn to rebellion again. The soul of the people was discouraged. They were really down. We might even feel sorry for them. But they were really showing what was in their hearts. They spoke with sinful discontent about what God had done for them. They complained about the food and the water He provided for them. They did not trust God. They did not trust what God had in store for them in their future. They showed they were impatient with God and rebellious against Him. The Lord sent fiery serpents, poisonous serpents, among the people to punish them for their grumbling. People tried to escape these snakes, but they could not escape. So many were bitten and felt the poisonous effect. Many died. This time, however, the people repented to Moses. They understood they deserved this punishment. They were sorry for their sin. They felt their danger, and they called to God. They said to Moses, "We know that we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you too, Moses. pray unto the Lord so that he would save us from these serpents. Moses did pray for the people, and the Lord told him to make a fiery serpent out of brass and put it on a pole where all the people could see it. If anyone who was bitten and suffering from this deadly poison would only look at the brass serpent, he would get well and live. This was a miracle. This was another lesson that God wanted these people to learn before they reached the promised land. If anyone did not believe God's word and turned away from the brass serpent, he would die. But if someone did as God said and in faith looked at the serpent, he would be saved. It is amazing. If someone was just bitten and had only just begun to feel the effect of the poison and looked, they were healed. If it was someone who had their face against the ground and they were writhing in pain and they could only barely see because of the poison, and they looked, they too were saved. Those who were near, those who were far away, if they looked, they were saved. The Israelites were approaching the end of their 40 years of desert wanderings. All the older people were dead, except for Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. Everyone who had sinned against God by refusing to go into the promised land were now dead. The young children were grown, and when they ran out of water, God told Moses to gather the people together so that God could give them water. The people made a song about this event and often sang about it to worship their God. In time, they eventually arrived at Moab. They knew who lived here. It was the descendants of Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham. God had given this land to them, and he would surely give Canaan to the Israelites. Eventually, they crossed the river Arnon and faced the country of the Amorites. There was no going around this country. It was filled with wicked people. God had already told Abram in Genesis 15 that the time was going to come that this people would need to be destroyed. That time had now arrived. God wanted the Israelites to fight the Amorites, and he promised to help them. From now on, the Israelites would have to do a lot of fighting. Israel would have a reputation as good fighters. Other nations would lose courage against them. Well, the Amorites heard that this nation was coming to fight them. They were worried that the God of this nation was stronger than their own God. When Moses asked for permission to pass quietly and safely through their country, Sihon, the king of the Amorites, refused. He came out to fight Israel instead. And Israel, led by God, won an amazing victory over the Amorites. According to God's command, every single person of the sinful nation of the Amorites was killed. Israel took their cattle for themselves and lived in their houses. The crops that were in the field also were taken by Israel. The nation of the Amorites was completely gone and taken over by Israel. They continued north to Bashan, whose king's name was Og. This king had a really fearful reputation, and he was feared by all. The Lord promised Israel, "Fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, The Israelites won an amazing victory that day also. Apparently, there were 60 big walled cities in the land of Bashan. Every one was defeated by Israel. All of the cities and possessions were given by God to the Israelites. Let's turn our attention to the next part of this lesson. If God wanted to teach Israel a lesson with the brazen serpent in the wilderness, then there is a lesson for us to learn as well. Here is a picture of our human condition and of God's salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. Sin is like the biting of those serpents. The people of Israel had the same disease as us. We are rebels. Sin is painful to us. Our sin will cause us to, for sure, die. But just like God provided a cure for their disease, He also provides a cure for our sin disease. God Himself told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. It was also God who thought of a plan and provided His own Son for the salvation of sinners. The brazen serpent was also a bit of an odd method to cure them of a disease. I would have expected that they would drink some water and this would be like medicine. But here, the thing that saves them is a believing look at this brass serpent on a pole. Maybe you have already noticed that the very object that was a means of salvation for these people was the same as the serpent that had given them that deadly bite. The Lord Jesus Christ, perfect and sinless, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and He would do the work of salvation. Moses was instructed to lift this serpent up in the wilderness for everyone to see. The Lord Jesus spoke about this event when He was on this earth. This shows that this event also pointed forward to the Lord Jesus. He said in John 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The Lord Jesus would be lifted up on the cross. In a different place, the Lord Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He said this, showing what sort of death He would die, that He would be lifted up on a cross. Is it puzzling to you how being bitten by a fiery serpent, suffering a deadly fever, they could be healed by looking to a serpent on a pole? The cure seems entirely not matched to the disease. Don't forget that this was salvation provided by God, and that is all what is needed. In the same way, sinners will be saved when they look in faith to the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, we read, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." A sinner who feels the bite, the pain of their sinful condition and sinful nature will still die. But those who hear the gospel preached, who hear the command to repent and believe, and look to the Savior lifted up on the cross, who look away from themselves and look to him will live. What is this look? What does it mean to look simply? It means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness to save a sinner. Those who despised the method of salvation died of their own sin. Those who despise Christ's righteousness and do not believe in him will also die. Dear student, you have been following along with all these lessons so far. What about you? Have you, by God's free and sovereign grace, already learned to look to that Savior who alone is able to save you from your sin? This brings us to an end of our lesson on the serpent of brass lifted up. Here we learned of a miraculous way of salvation that God provides for rebellious sinners.